Hello, WRSU. This is Jonathan Varghese, and I'm here with the Crashing Hotels in our phone interview. How are you boys doing tonight?
Doing awesome, man. Taking in the sunset out here.
Awesome. Tonight we have Tony and AO. And can you give a little background info on yourselves? You know, who are you as this band, Crashing Hotels? Tony and AO.
Yeah, man. We're a two-piece dark electric dance rock duo based in Brooklyn, New York. We have recently relocated from the West Coast, so now we're out here with you guys on the East Coast. And just released a brand new album called Exploration Exploitation, being carried here in WRCU. And we're stoked about it. Hope you guys can check it out.
Of course, yeah. You know, we got it playing in our playlist, and we loved it. And we reached out to you and said, hey, you know, let's do something. Let's get an interview going, you know? And we're so happy to have you here tonight to get to know you more, all right? So as you mentioned your genre of dance rock, you know, can you guys elaborate more on how you'd like describe your sound?
Yeah, we kind of sum it up just as like dark electric dance rock, because it's just kind of what the feel is on this album. Like, the stuff will get you definitely dancing, but also like, I guess the lyrics are a little more somber and dark. And then there's the combination when we play live of like kind of like sample based stuff coming from an MPC, and then also live instrumentation on keyboards, synthesizers, guitars, and drums. So dark electric dance rock just kind of is the best way to not lie about what we're doing.
Awesome. Okay. And is this kind of like a pushback against, like, I guess, more happy pop, would you say?
I have no idea, man. I don't really listen to music, so it's just kind of like, it's just coming out how it comes out. There's no kind of, I'm not doing it like in response to anything. It's just kind of doing it just because that's how it's wiggling out of me.
Oh, I got you. Okay. And then, so it's what it comes out of you, and people have just come to label it as dark pop. Is that correct?
Yeah, dark electric dance rock. Yeah, whatever you guys want to say. People call it electro goth. People call it all sorts of things. But the best thing to call it is just to check it out in your headphones, and then you can call it what you want to call it, you know?
All right. I appreciate, you know, the liberty that, you know, you give the listeners, you know, to call what they want. Awesome, man.
Yeah.
And if we can go on with that, you know, you do say, like, you know, it's whatever that comes out of you. Can, I guess, to get a better idea of, I guess, what we can, if we want to give it a more concrete genre name, who primarily influences you?
Yeah, that's a tricky question, because, like, my whole thing with producing music is, like, probably back when I was probably like 12 or 13 years old, I just had this realization in my mom's closet that I was not going to listen to music anymore, and I was just going to keep making music how I wanted to make music and felt like I wanted to make music. So really my inspirations aren't really from like music or anything. It's just more kind of like from weird thoughts, like, I don't know, like science and stuff. I'm really into astronomy and geology, so I kind of just, I guess I convert inspirations from different studies into music. So, like, I guess my inspiration would be, like, yeah, like science and stuff like that, and just kind of like walking around the streets and stuff, just real life stuff.
Damn, that's really, like, interesting, you know, to not, you know, confine yourselves to, like, you know, the inspiration of other, you know, musical artists, but like converting like these non-musical experiences, like, you know, like what you see maybe on the streets of walking in New York, or, you know, just like about a study of a field, like, you know, astrology or astronomy or geology, you know, and converting that into a type of music. It's actually, if I may tell you guys, I'm in a French class that's analyzing the combination of like different senses, you know, like pairing what listening with smelling and tasting. It's I don't know what it's called in English, but it's called la synesthésie. And there's this one poet named Arthur Rimbaud. He, like, for example, gives like vowels, you know, the A, the E's, the I's, the O's, and the U's, like different, you know, corresponding colors. And I was really confused when I analyzed this, you know, and I was like, why is he doing this? But, you know, that's beyond me. You know, it's really within you, you know, and I guess how you put it together, you know, and that's what really makes it so original, and honestly what makes Exploration Exploitation a very interesting sound piece. It's a very unlike what I've heard, I think, in a lot of ways, you know what I mean? So I give you kudos for, like, very original work.
Thank you, man. Yeah, yes, I appreciate that. And there's a little bit of French inspiration on the second track on that album. So you may want to revisit that song, Feeling Gone Wrong, and see if you can find it.
Ooh, okay. All right. That is a challenge I will take. I got to get to know. I think you did already cover this, you know, but I want to ask, like, you know, what was your start like, I guess, forming, you know, the band Crashing Hotels? You know, like, did you all come from, like, separate bands? Was there, like, a precursor band?
Yeah, when we met was while we were at the University of Colorado, and we were both in different bands at the time, or different musical projects, and we met kind of throw-in shows and you know, just being in that scene in Boulder, and then Aya relocated out to San Francisco, and we, you know, had I had just like been basically following the music that he was making. You know, he'd send me little ideas or EPs that he came out with or whatever, and it was always super, super cool. And just the life circumstances worked out that, you know, he was working on some stuff that I was really digging and had a chance to relocate myself. And so just took the opportunity, and that's when we started really kind of pushing to get this newer stuff going. So this is our second release that we've put out, and yeah, kind of got a new one already in the works. But yeah, we met in school, and we're just like inspired, you know, by similar things, I guess, like Aya was saying, kind of not necessarily, especially at the time, you know, different styles musically maybe, but I think we just kind of like found common ground as human beings, and that led us to collaborate playing music together.
Awesome. So you guys are, I hope and I assume, yeah, meshing really well when it comes to making music and producing. That's awesome for you guys. And I gotta ask, you know, I guess Crashing Hotels really took a concrete form in San Francisco, you mentioned?
Yeah.
And how was your reception in San Francisco, you know?
Well, San Francisco is an interesting place. It's sort of, you know, the Burning Man scene's big there. The, like, DJs and house music is really big there. So it can be kind of tough footing for rock bands. And so we took a pretty different approach. We did things like opening up a concept store where you could come by pressings from Salvador Dali, paintings from like Leonor Fini, different things like that. We had an album preview party that took place in this spot called the Archbishop's Mansion that's on Alamo Square, where we basically decked out 8 different rooms in this mansion, and it was a walking tour. Each room had a song with a visual, an aesthetic, physical representation within it. So we just like took a little bit of a different approach since there's less of a scene there for actually going out and seeing shows. So we just did a lot of different things, as well as, you know, playing some shows as well. But we even, you know, took over a spot that had a kitchen and made barbecue and played a show and had like records set up that people could come through and play along with our set. So we had fun with it out there, and, you know, relocating was like good for a change of pace and scenery and to kind of expand to a little bit of a different feel out here on the West Coast that we thought we were, or the East Coast that we thought we were ready for.
That's really unique. You know, just those type of like, you know, events that you guys put together. So was the kitchen gig continued on the East Coast?
Not yet, but you know, we'll see how that goes. You know, merchandise sometimes, we like to do creative things, so you might come out and get some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or some barbecue if you come to a show. You never know.
Of course, yeah, that sounds like unique in like the most positive way possible. I'd love to experience that. Please, I hope you guys. I wish you the most success, and like, you know, we can get this, you know, going on the East Coast. You know,
about the enthusiasm. Thank you.
All right, I gotta ask. You know. And y'all have mentioned, y'all recently released your new album, Exploration, Exploitation. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now I got to ask, you know, as artists, what do you want your listeners to take away after listening to the album?
I don't know. I want people to take away just, like, natural feelings from it, natural emotions from it. Like, this music is just created, like, in a void of not really knowing where it's coming from or where it's going. So I think that keeping that energy in the sense of just allowing it to be what it will be, is the best thing I could hope for. Is good or bad, if people like it, awesome. If people hate it, awesome. It's just, I guess I just want people to feel something towards it rather than, you know, some of the stuff you hear from other bands and on the radio or whatever. That's just kind of, you can't even remember if the song started or ended, or it's in the middle of it, or it's the same artist, a different artist. It's just kind of like this numbing frequency of all the same sound and stuff that you kind of don't even know what's going on anymore. So hopefully people take away from it that, like, it sounded different and that it made them feel something.
Wow, that's a really brave approach to that. You know, either you hate it or you like it. That's, I respect that very much to you guys, because I do agree, a lot of the music that I hear on, like, you know, radio stations here, like, I will just forget it. You know, it's like, oh wait, what was that song? Sounded like every other song that they play, you know.
Yeah,
that is a brave,
yeah, exactly,
approach that you guys are, you know, putting on there. I definitely know, like, you know, when I listen to you guys, like, it is such a different, you know, approach to it, and I'm like, huh, like, you guys are really memorable. And to, like, the listeners here, like, you have to give this you know, album a listen. Seriously, you will not forget it. I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Honesty is a great thing. And, you know, like, I was pretty much a huge, huge nerd in school. I didn't really have many friends. I still don't really have many friends because I'm always working on stuff. And but it's like, you know, it's like one thing to be, you know, people should just always feel free to be themselves no matter what it is, you know. Like, it's great that this transgender thing is starting to bubble up and people are accepting that. These restrooms are stripping their signs down with boys and women and all that stuff. And it, you know, it's, everybody should just kind of stop worrying about who they feel like they are inside and how they need to present themselves to the outside world. And if everybody just feels how they are on the inside and presents their inside feelings to the outside world, I think there's just, like, a lot more opportunity for people to have a lot more fun in this world, because no one's really worrying about all these kind of silly, kind of superficial things, you know. Like, yeah, I remember one time I asked Tony, I was like, man, should I just start producing, like, really catchy pop songs? Like, because, man, I don't want to keep waiting for this, like, our moment to come, you know what I mean? I know I'm good enough of a musician to, like, tour the world, so, like, should we just get this over with? And thank God Tony was just like, nah, dude, definitely don't do that. Like, just keep doing your thing, you know. And as strange as our music might sound, it at the same time it irks your ear to the right point to be like, all right, this is, like, something that I can feel something towards. So going back to that first question is yeah, like, I guess I would kind of, when I think about it more, I want people to take away from the music that they should always have faith within themselves to be themselves, because if you're projecting anything other than yourself to the outside world, it's just, it's clogging up the communication of, like, the human experience, you know?
Yeah, no, okay, sorry, I thought you were going to continue, but yes, no, I hear you out, and I got to say, like, thank you for being, like, pioneers, or just, you know, people setting forth to, like, you know, spread such a, you know, positive message. Honestly, like, I, as, you know, a student, you know, at Rutgers, like, I sometimes think to myself, like, you know, man, like, am I doing this for someone, or am I doing it because it's expected, or, you know, like, why am I doing certain things? And I admit, there are things, like, I do things because of expectation, and I hope that I can, you know, get closer to, you know, doing things more because, like, I just feel that way inside. And I assume, you know, AO, like, you're well ahead into that journey. You know, I wish you the best, and, like, continuing to do that, and hopefully your message, you know, spreads further, and we can all, like, see, like, yeah, this is how we should do it. Totally.
Yeah, man, be yourself, dude. It's a lot easier to hang out when people are just themselves, for sure. 100%, man.
Damn, all right, I feel that. And, you know, I noticed, you know, Exploitation was released nearly 5 years after Advisory Act. You know, what were you up to, you know, in those 5 years? Were you, you know, hanging out? Were you, like, relaxing and enjoying, like, the success of Advisory Act, or finding inspiration?
Well, really, like, Advisory Act was really released, like, in January of, I don't know what, 2014, and then we released this one, like, in January. So I think it's, yeah, 4 years, I don't know, 4 years probably. But in between that time, we were just trying to, like, deal with San Francisco. Like, we were trying to get people to come out to shows and see that, like, music wasn't just floor to the floor house music with the DJ pumping his fist and like taking drugs and wearing tutus on their heads. You know what I mean? It was actually like you could come out and see some people writing their own music and playing out of their music. So I think during those times we were just really looking at doing our live shows and creating new ways to like kind of get our merchandise through to people and building a website and yeah, just I don't know, that time flies, man. That's why I think that every day you should just really wake up and like really like pedal to the metal, man. Like because if you start waiting, it becomes like a real bad habit. It's real easy to sit back and like let people bring food to you. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think, we were just probably just out there trying to get it on the more like live show tip.
So, and speaking of live performances, you know, since releasing Exploration Exploitation, you know, has your favorite song to perform live changed?
No. Not for me.
Not for you? What is your favorite song to perform live?
We have this one song that's not released on any album. It's called Palm Tree.
All right.
But that's just a fun one, man, because it's long and it starts off very, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's just very, like, it's subtle how it hits you, but it hits you pretty heavy, man. And we have a couple of really solid breakdowns in that song where, like, get people really moving and dancing with whoever's next to them, so...
I got you.
I think that's my best one.
All right. So I have every motivation to come out to your show and listen to Palm Trees. I don't want to ask for it personally for WRSU. No. We have to go out there and listen to it for ourselves, you know?
Yeah, come out. We play a lot of songs that we don't like. We have like, you know, another kind of creative element to our gig is like we keep some of our songs completely offline. Like we don't record them, we don't do anything with them. They're like completely just between Tony and I, so that it does motivate people to come out to the show and get that little like jam of community with whoever else is there to be like, oh, I've never heard that song. The song was amazing. Like, where can I find that song? And you know, when they can't find it, hopefully it makes them be like, well, maybe I'll go back to the next show.
That's awesome. Oh my God, you guys have figured it out. Awesome. I love it. Now,
thanks,
you know, I guess with this, you know, idea of keeping very, you know, original songs, you know, offline and just keep more to these shows. Actually, you know, with that and combining this idea of like, you know, the shows that you like, you guys like to, you know, give not, you know, something basic, but something really interesting. What is the craziest experience you've had as a band? You know, it could be like, I think mainly a live show, you know, like what's the craziest thing you've done?
Oh, I guess it probably would be, I mean, I think I smashed up a keyboard one time pretty heavily while we had these little meteorites. We designed these little meteorites with plastic that we got out of the trash, and we put some lights inside of them and some fog, and they kind of pulsed like they looked like meteorites had slammed into the earth, and they were just kind of like baking. So it looked like we were playing from like a meteorite impact like area.
Damn,
and,
all right.
Yeah, and someone was feeding me alcohol while I was playing, and I think I got a little drunk, and so I ended up just tearing up this keyboard of ours, and yeah.
Ah, so you like you're just like you know just smashing your fists on the keyboard?
Oh no, I just took the keyboard up and put it over my head and slammed it onto the stage and just broke it like it was like an electric guitar or something, you know?
All right, yeah, no,
I think there were some curb stops in there as well.
Yeah, you know. Good old-fashioned bar fight with a keyboard, I think.
Yeah,
sometimes you got to smash something. And, I mean, I also, you know, another element of live shows is every now and then we do summon some glitter ghosts to the stage. And so that's kind of a unique thing that we offer. That's a performance element that you got to come out to see for yourself.
Oh, okay. I was just about to ask. What are glitter ghosts? But, you know, on that note, I do not want to spoil it. So, you know, just to the listeners of WRSU and to myself, please go see a show of Crashing Hotels. I think this would be a memorable experience, one you can never forget.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
So we're just about to finish this interview, and, you know, it's been a pleasure working with you guys. I just want to ask, you know, any last remarks, you know, before signing off? What are your future plans? You know, what's next for the band?
Well, we're getting ready to record some new stuff. We're getting ready to get on the road, so we'll have to see what's good up there in Hamilton and catch, you know. We don't know the area, so we'll have to ask you offline, but we'd love to get up there and come see you guys. And otherwise, we're just, you know, just released the album, so it's available on Spotify to go listen for free. Follow us on there and give us some spins. I think we get maybe a tenth of a cent for every 100 spins or something like that. But we do really appreciate folks going on there and following us and taking a listen, because it helps us, you know, see where people are at and see where people are listening and then plan our adventures based on that. So, yeah, we'll be down here in New York City otherwise and then getting on the road a little bit.
Awesome.
Come this spring.
Oh, and I need to ask personally, you know, any prediction of, you know, coming to visit us at WRSU? We'd totally love to have you in our live set, you know, and record you guys play.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we'll talk. Let's talk about it. Let's make it happen.
Of course, yeah. Or even any, like, New Brunswick shows, because the Rutgers underground basement show scene is quite lively and, you know, has brought some bands into, like, you know, bigger names, like the Happy Fits, for example. I'm pretty sure a lot of listeners are aware of the Happy Fits. They're growing immensely.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Well, let's talk offline. Let's get it going.
Awesome. You know, I cannot wait. I'm excited, you know, and just to see you guys in New Brunswick and just to experience that, you know, authentic, original, crazy, like, live concert experience, I'm pumped. I'm ready.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, guys, thanks again for, you know, taking the time out of your days to, you know, speak with us at WRSU. Everyone, this is Crashing Hotels with WRSU. Please give them a listen on Spotify with their new album, Exploration Exploitation. And please make sure to support their shows. It'll be a memorable experience, something you'll never forget. Nice talking to you guys. Tony and AO, I'll see you soon, all right?
Thank you, John.
One love, brother.
One love. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.